Hello and welcome to the Radio Academy podcast, dedicated to the blend of stories and sounds. I'm your host, Hayley Hayes. In this episode, I'm sitting down with the very talented Hannah Adden, the dynamic presenter and producer behind one of BBC Sound's most innovative shows. Hannah is not only the genius behind the Museum of Bad Vibes podcast, but she's also a proud member of the Radio Academy's prestigious 30 Under 30 alumni. Join us as we explore BBC Sound's Audio Lab, a space where groundbreaking ideas come to life and emerging audio talents find their voice. Let's dive in.
I have a love-hate relationship with museums. Maybe some of you listening do too. I go to museums a lot, and I yearn to learn about different worlds and times, and they allow me to do that without getting on a plane. But I also know that they're not neutral spaces. Oftentimes, the objects in them have been stolen, let's not lie. And the history behind how they find themselves in glass cabinets or in storage rooms in British museums, obscured.
Starting from the very beginning, I know you've got quite an academic background studying at Oxford University. How did you go from that to then becoming a presenter and producer in the world of podcasts, media, TV?
All the stuff that I was learning was amazing. I was like in Kenya, doing loads of really cool stuff. And I just felt like no one outside of academia really knew what was going on. And so I was just kind of like, okay, how do I then take what I'm learning and kind of share it with people? And documentary filmmaking just kind of felt so natural to me. And so that's how I started. I started at the BBC in the natural history unit. And then I think with TV, I then felt like, you know, you need a lot of money, you need a lot of support, you need a lot of like budget behind you. But what's something that's more easy for me to do and more easy for me to share? And it was just audio. And so I just kind of went from TV to then audio, and it's just been such an amazing experience, and I'm so happy to be doing it.
And your podcast, it's got, I would say, an American feel to it. It's got kind of Radio Lab type vibes. What were your inspirations?
So the Horniman Museum had like a program, went to a couple of classes, and it was during COVID, so it was all online, and I just really loved it. And then I felt like the objects were speaking to me. I just kind of felt like, oh, what would happen if I kind of gave the objects the mic? And so that's kind of just what happened. And because I feel like it's such like a contentious topic, I thought, okay, let me just get the factual information correct and let the objects speak. I felt like it was a bit more neutral than me saying, actually, the objects want to go home kind of thing. And so that's just how it happened. It felt very, it kind of just evolved. It was like a snowball effect, really. And now I've tried to like listen to other podcasts about museums, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. This, it works. But yeah, so that's how it kind of came about.
Why do you think it works so well as a series on a podcast rather than live radio or TV or video on YouTube? It seems to fit so well as a podcast.
I think because even when like the topics of repatriation and museum items and all of that come up, a lot of the times it's discussed in like a daily program. And I feel like it's very easy to do like a blanket statement and be like, okay, return all the items. But when you kind of deep dive into each individual item, you know that there's going to be a solution for that particular item that may not work for another item. And so I felt like with the podcast, it just allowed me to really go into depth. So for example, with the item from Papua New Guinea that's covered in episode 4, there was so much more that I could go into. So the object itself was at the Horniman Museum, but it was given to the Horniman by the London Missionary Society. And so then I kind of did a deep dive into the London Missionary Society and found out what they were doing in Papua New Guinea and how the item came into their collections. And then kind of looking at the object and if it could be returned now, I found that with Papua New Guinea, 95% of the population now consider themselves Christian. And so the item itself, it was from when they were practicing their indigenous religious cultures. And so a lot of people don't want the item back because they don't resonate with it anymore. And so it was just kind of like, okay, so now what happens to that object? And so I felt like with podcasting, I could answer all those kind of questions of like why and what if and where can it go, a lot more easier than, say, if it was TV or if it was like a daily program.
Interesting. And then also you touched on the spiritual and cultural significance there. Why do you think it's important for listeners to explore these kind of avenues in regards to artifacts from museums?
I feel like when you enter a museum, like the little placards don't really give you enough information about the item. They don't really kind of go into depth. And I think that's because it's been put in a museum and it's been collected by people who don't really resonate with the spiritual significance of that particular item. And so I thought, okay, what would people who do value it and do see the spiritual significance of it, what would they think of it being in a museum, being behind like that glass door? And so I think that's how I kind of came to it. And I was like, okay, do you know what? I feel like with museums and like certain institutions, they're very kind of clinical. Everything of the item that is not like where it came from, when it came, and those kind of just like basic factual information is just kind of wiped out. And I just thought it wasn't really fair to the item and to the cultures that those items were taken from.
Your experience with BBC Sounds Audio Lab, can you just tell us a little bit about that and how it influenced your creative process and the direction of your career?
Before I heard of Audio Lab, I already had the idea of for Museum of Bad Vibes. And I was just kind of doing it by myself. But that was whilst working a full-time job. And I just felt like I couldn't leave that full-time job because I needed to pay bills. And I was like, so just kind of working on the podcast on the side. And obviously that was a really slow process. And so when I saw Audio Lab, I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. Let me just apply. It'll give me the space and time and the money to do the podcast that I want to do. And so thankfully I got on. I was so, so happy. And I think when I came onto the program, I just had like a really raw idea. And I had a lot of like emotions and a lot of feelings attached to the idea. And so it was just at the beginning, it was really nice just having those training sessions that allowed you to just really sit and think, okay, how can I do justice to these objects? And I also had some amazing, amazing colleagues that I was working with. So the people on the Audio Lab, as well as the mentors that we were given. So I had the space, the time, the energy to really focus. So I took sabbatical from my full-time job to be able to do it. And it was good because I had a clear timeline of when I had to finish it and when it needed to be done. And I also so I was pregnant as well. So I knew that I have to do it before this baby comes too. So it was really nice. And because I was then pregnant, I was allowed to, you know, take my annual leave and then take maternity leave and then just really finish it. And so, yeah, it was just such an amazing experience. The other people on Audio Lab really helped me like kind of push my idea a lot more. And I was, because at the beginning, I was just really worried. Obviously, like working with the BBC, there's like some red tape or more red tape than if I was doing it by myself. So I was really worried. I was like, okay, how can I do this? And it was just nice talking to the other people on Audio Lab. They really helped me like flesh out my idea and, you know, and sometimes just that support of like, no, you can do it. No, it's a great idea. Like, do you get what I mean? So it's just that kind of that push. And it was just an amazing experience, honestly.
But is there any challenges you had whilst making the podcast, either technically, creatively?
Yeah, definitely. I think being heavily pregnant during it meant that I couldn't really travel. Being pregnant, it was just too far down. Like I was like 8 months pregnant. I was like, this is not going to work. And so I just had to really rely on the resources I had to really rely on the catalogue that was online just to kind of describe what the object was. And so it would have been nice to be actually to go see the objects. And then again, with that particular object, it was given to the museum by, he was a colonial officer in Ghana. And so he donated all those objects to the museum and then donated all his notes to the Oxford University. And so then I couldn't go to the university and see his notes and kind of like really deep dive. And so again, I just had to rely on their online sources. And so I felt like that kind of hindered the podcast and hindered really my experience. But I tried to do the best that I could with what I had.
So will there be anything more from the Museum of Bad Vibes?
And so I've started my own production company and I'm working on doing that. But I am looking for like a co-producer or a production company that I could co-produce it with. And so hopefully, if you guys know anyone, do shout me. If you want to get involved, please do let me know. I would really like to look into human remains in museums, because like the museums have from like fingernails to hair to like full bodies. And especially like with Egyptian mummies, you kind of go into the museum, you see them, you don't really think that that's actually a person, and that was a person who was wrapped and buried in a particular way with love by their family. So the idea of them being dug up and then put in a glass box and then put in a museum just seems so bizarre. But I feel like you don't really think of it like that, because when you just go into a museum, just kind of see it and kind of like, okay, that's just the mummy. And I think for me, when it really hit was one time a few years ago, actually. I took my little sister to the British Museum, and then she saw the mummy. She was about 5 at the time, and she was like, oh, what's that? And I was like, I was a mummy. And she was like, what's that? And I was like, I was a dead person. And I continued walking, and she just like froze on the spot. And she was like, is that what happens when we die? And I think from there, it was like, oh my God, yes, that's a person who is buried by their loved ones in a particular way. And it's just so weird that it's now in a museum. It's just weird.
Then just touching on the Radio Academy, you were super pleased, I guess, to be part of Radio Academy's 30 Under 30 last year, a significant achievement. Can you tell us how that helped?
And I got the call and I was like, what? I was so confused. And it was just so nice, because I was just really worried about like, oh, how is maternity leave going to affect my career? How am I going to make it work? And it was just a lot of pressure. And so kind of getting that, I think it did so much for my confidence, and just so much to be like, it just felt really nice that people appreciated the work that I was doing. Because sometimes, you know, you're working in a little silo, you're just kind of continuing and you don't really feel like who's listening. And especially, so like, handed in the podcast, I gave birth a week later, and it was the first time I was really awarded something for my work, even though I've been doing production for a number of years now, it was the first time. And so it just felt so nice. And now that I'm back into work and like back out there, I think it has really helped, you know, pump up my CV, and I'm just really excited to get started, or to get restarted, shall I say.
So any advice you'd give to aspiring podcasters, storytellers, those that may be interested into delving into cultural narratives and heritage like you've done?
Surround yourself with other people who are doing similar things. I think that I really learned that from Audio Lab and being with the other creators. And it was just like, okay, cool. Because I feel like a lot of my friends kind of went on different career paths, and no one really got it. And it just felt like, okay, I'm struggling. I'm always working long hours. The pay doesn't really match up. And it was just like a lot. So I think being around other creators really did help me. So I'll definitely say, keep the passion, surround yourself with other creators. And like, just keep listening to podcasts, keep making notes on stuff that you like. Also reach out to people when you've listened to their stuff and you've enjoyed it, and just kind of, you know, build your network that way, and just, yeah, keep enjoying it. And I really do wish the best for everyone who's going for it, because I know it's not easy, but your time will come, and, you know, just keep going.
So if anyone wants to get in touch with you, or just find out what you're doing, or offer to work with you on your next series, how do they get in touch? Where can they find you?
On my website is Hannah, HANNAADAN.com. I've got a little contact me form on there. And my Twitter is HannahAADAN_.
Thanks to Hannah for the wonderful chat today. And don't forget to catch Museum of Bad Vibes on BBC Sounds.
Now, before I wrap up, I've got a couple of dates to mark in your calendar. First up, the Radio Academy is hosting Foot in the Door, a one-day event for people at entry level in audio. We'll be diving into everything from programme production to podcasting and loads more. And the best part? There's a social event to cap off the day, and your first drink is on the house. All that's happening at Leeds University on Wednesday the 8th of November. Tickets are a steal at £6 for Radio Academy members and £12 for non-members. Get yours at radioacademy.org/training.
And another exciting event is Radio TechCon. The Tech and Engineering Conference is in London on Monday the 27th of November. They're offering 20 bursary spots this year, which means free tickets for people from backgrounds that are underrepresented in broadcast engineering or those facing financial barriers. Plus, winners will get a year's free membership with the Radio Academy. If you're a Radio Academy member, you're in luck. Special ticket discounts are waiting for you. Just log on to our website and grab your discount code. So mark your calendars and I'll catch you there. Bye for now.